Hello and welcome to the Pooh 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 Podcast. I'm Lisa Mayer, the main Rebbitzin, and this story I call Class Act, and it just happened to me last year. School was already a month in when Kirilin was transferred to my class. She and another girl in her old class had hissing and violent fights, and the assistant principal thought she would do better with me because I was more motherly than the male teacher. "Try to understand her," the assistant principal said to me. "She was born in jail. Her mother was in for something, and they took baby Kirilin away the day she was born and gave her to her grandmother to raise." Born in jail. Born in jail. I promised I would try. But this was my first year teaching in the classroom. I was no match for her. And Kirilin was 12, a year older than every other kiddo in my fifth grade class. They were no match for her. Kirilin cast her omnivorous eye around, found the girl with the least self-confidence, and co-opted her. Soon, sweet little Aria's clothes were strutting in the morning on Kirilin, who didn't mind the tight fit. Kirilin seemed to have taken over Aria's family, too. On Monday mornings, I would hear all about another sleepover, and on Friday afternoons, at precisely 2:25, when they were allowed to use their cell phones, I would hear Kirilin command Aria thusly, "Tell your mom that I'm coming for the weekend." At the next parent-teachers conference, Aria's mother made an appearance in my classroom. I gently but leadingly asked how things were going. "Well," her soft voice hesitated, "Kirilin is over all the time. I don't know how I'm going to take her down to Florida with us next weekend for Aria's cheer competition. Plane tickets are so expensive, but she really wants to go." I gently but leadingly suggested that she say no to Kirilin, that it was okay to say no to Kirilin, that this was really taka too much. "Oh," she said, "I don't want to hurt her feelings." Boy, Kirilin sure knew how to choose her victims, and intuited that a no-confidence girl might come from a no-confidence mother. She came to class on Monday morning talking all about the plane to Florida and the hotel. She was wearing Aria's winning cheer costume and holding her blue and gold pom-poms. "Look, I can cheer too," she announced, and as usual, the entire class gathered around her. She shimmied, she twerked, and as usual, the less confident girls mimicked her. So did some of the boys. I remember one of the first things Kirilin said to me. It was during an indoor recess, the kind you get a lot in Maine. "Ms. Mayer, I want to be murdered in my sleep by my boyfriend. That way, it will be a romantic death." She said, "death," the way some people say chocolate, lusciously. After I caught my breath and tried to remember what she said exactly so I could email the counselor, I started to explain that being murdered isn't romantic at all. It's violent, and that she should pick a boyfriend more carefully, and that she was pretty good at math. But she had already moved on to the other side of the classroom and was happily making some other girls feel insecure. Then, over that weekend, a horrible thing happened. Kirilin's fight with that girl from the other class, which of course had continued out of school, escalated. Since all the kiddos live near each other in our little town, they are invited to the same parties. My details aren't 100%, so I'm not sure if Kirilin did this by phone or at the party, but she strongly suggested that the other girl commit suicide. Which the other girl tried to do, and ended up in the hospital for 3 days. I thought for sure that was the end of Kirilin. Surely she'll be expelled, placed in a behavioral program, and given emergency counseling. Nope. Kirilin was suspended for 2 days, and both girls came back to school. But Kirilin had learned her lesson. She could get away with anything. "Hey, I have a fun idea for a prank," she said the very next day to a girl in my class. "Let's pretend to like each other's boyfriends." By recess, the two boyfriends had broken up with Kirilin and the other girl and asked out two new girls from another class. The other girl was crying because she had really liked her boyfriend. Kirilin, of course, consoled her without any acknowledgement that she, Kirilin, had started the whole thing. and the other girls just accepted it. It was infuriating and sad. With all that was happening, I'm a little ashamed to admit that what actually made me the craziest about Kirilin was that she would not stay in her seat. The slightest noise outside our door had her up and running to be in the middle of whatever was happening. She could not not know. Anything, anywhere, anyone. She felt completely entitled to be the center of attention, no matter what was happening or to whom. She put the yen in yenta, a Yiddish word I taught her, and which she took to with delight. What is Owen being dismissed for? What does that new sign say in the assistant principal's office? Who just called you, Miss Mayor? She would run out into the hallway, and I would jump up and run after her, yelling at her to get back inside. It didn't stop. It didn't stop. It was exhausting. Principals and assistant principals' primary concern in every school is safety. My class was already so loud and unruly that the assistant principal would waltz in regularly, not a figure of speech, he used to be a professional dancer, and warn me that I had to be more rigorous. In case you're wondering, Kirilin's grandma never returned calls or emails or came to any conferences. When I asked the assistant principal about it, he sighed. According to grandma, Kirilin is perfect. Spring fever hit early, like fifth grade puberty. The outfits Kirilin took from Aria got skimpier. I noticed that she would show up in the morning in a sweatshirt and sweatpants, lock herself in the bathroom, and emerge in a crop top and low-rise jeans. Everyone got eyefuls of the three B's, boobs, belly, and booty. I have to express myself, Ms. Mayer. It's my right as a woman. The jiggling, the bouncing, the twerking. And then she developed another new habit of expressing herself as a woman. She moaned like a porn star. She would do it during standardized tests or during quiet reading time or when she got the right answer in math. Sounds would come out that I just know she had listened to 100 times till she could mimic it perfectly. She taught the other girls how to do it too. It was unnerving. I remember one of the last things Kirilin said to me. I changed my mind, Ms. Mayer. I don't want to be murdered in my sleep. I want to be a stripper in Las Vegas. And I remember thinking, you know, actually, you'd be really great. Yesterday, I called the assistant principal, now my former assistant principal, because I left that school and I'm now, thank God, the music teacher at a sweet little school on my side of town. My fifth grade class from last year is now a sixth grade class. They will be graduating elementary school, and I had promised to be there when they graduate. The assistant principal was touched and generously invited me to the graduation breakfast. I'm really looking forward to seeing all my kiddos. I'm bringing a big bag of cotton candy lollipops, which was our special treat. I really hope Kirilin has grown up and calmed down. I will see. But if she still wants to be a stripper in Vegas, I might have a little career advice for her. Go ahead, Kirilin. Be a stripper. But you'd better own the club.